Woodbine is classified by the National Trust and listed on the Victorian Heritage Database. Woodbine was built around 1847 by one of Port Fairy's founding fathers, Charles Mills. Charles and his brother John were early sealers and whalers working in Port Fairy and Portland from 1826. Charles was born in Launceston in 1812 and married his wife Olivia there in 1837. Olivia was born in 1820 and her birthplace was either Sydney or Launceston. Olivia often accompanied Charles when he travelled to the Victorian coast to engage in sealing, whaling, bark stripping and early farming ventures. She was among the first colonialist women to set foot on the Victorian coastline. Charles permanently settled Olivia and their three young children in Port Fairy in 1840. Their family was to grow to a total of 10 children. Some history is necessary at this stage because these were the earliest days of settlement. In 1843, James Atkinson purchased a special survey of 5,120 acres in the Port Fairy area, which included the fledgling township. Atkinson was born in 1804 in Armagh, Ireland, close to Belfast. He migrated to Australia in 1829 and based himself in Sydney, New South Wales, so he was a largely absent landlord. Atkinson changed the name of Port Fairy to Belfast in 1854 in memory of his homeland. That is why you'll hear so many references to Belfast as you're moving around the town. Port Fairy reverted to its original name in 1887 through an Act of Parliament. Charles was already farming in the area before Atkinson purchased the special survey, but he didn't begin construction on the Woodbine homestead until 1847, after securing a 31-year lease from Atkinson for 400 acres. Charles called the property Lagoon Farm and sublet 200 acres to his brother-in-law, James Glare. James called his sublet Woodbine, and the name somehow stuck to the surviving homestead. Charles always intended to purchase the land at the expiration of the lease with Atkinson, but he died too soon, in 1855, at the relatively young age of 43. The option to buy the land had unfortunately only been a gentleman's agreement between Charles and Atkinson. After the deaths of the two men, the land was purchased out from under Olivia by a conglomerate of wealthy local landowners in 1875, just 3 years before the end of the lease. She's said to have been paid a pittance for the buildings on the land. Olivia was pregnant with their 10th child when Charles died. I am a descendant of that 10th child, Sarah Maria Mills. When we first started researching the book, I was told about a ghost story involving Woodbine and Olivia Mills. I was immediately interested in the story, of course, being a descendant, but also because I knew Olivia had moved to Gippsland in the 1870s with some of her children and had died in the Trafalgar Narracan district in 1905. How could her ghost be haunting Woodbine? Eventually, I was referred to a distant cousin, Richard Mills, who confirmed the story. It seems Woodbine had become derelict during the 1860s, and the National Trust had purchased the property to save the house from demolition. The photo we have included shows the extent of the decline. The National Trust rebuilt the house and it was used as a rental until finally being offered for private sale. Richard and his wife Lynn were on holiday in Port Fairy around 1990-1991 when they learned of the sale and subsequently purchased the property. I'll let Richard tell the story of Lynn's encounter with the ghost of Olivia Mills in an extract from his interview. I was sitting at the kitchen table and Lynn was standing in the doorway between the kitchen and what we called the lounge room, which was the big room downstairs, and she was talking to me. She finished the conversation and turned to walk through the doorway and took a step back, and I said, "What's the matter?" And she said, "Oh, there's a lady in a long white dress standing at the bottom of the stairs." And I said, "Yeah, right." My wife was always convinced that it was Olivia, checking out what we were doing, because we'd only just moved into the house. We bought the property off the National Trust and actually lived in a caravan at first while I was working on the house, making it more livable than the National Trust had done. We'd only been in the house for probably a week, I suppose, when it happened. Subsequent to that, we would open the house for the public to have a look through, and a lady came with a group of people one day who I think was a bit of an amateur psychic. Anyway, I told this story, but I didn't say exactly where it happened. And she said, don't tell me where your wife saw the lady. I'll walk through the house and I'll tell you where it was. So we went through the house, the two bottom rooms, the kitchen, upstairs into the bedrooms and came back down. We were standing in the kitchen again and she said, it would have been right in the doorway there at the bottom of the stairs. And I said, yes, that's right. Quite often, when you walk down the stairs, you could feel it was colder there than anywhere else in the house. So make of that what you will. Maybe it was something to do with the temperature inside the house, because it never really got hot. It's built of stone and very well insulated. There was just a cold spot at the bottom of the stairs. Folklore has it that ghosts often appear during renovations when their surroundings are disrupted. There are several stories in our book where ghosts appear during renovations, so I guess we can confirm this ghostly folklore is true. The Claire Lydiard story is another example of this. We also interviewed Artie Hoey for this story. Artie was a local builder who did the reconstruction work on Woodbine. He explained that Woodbine was originally a one-story house, with the second story added later. His team found the remnants of an old fireplace at the foot of the stairs, being a stone with a thin shaft on either side that could have created a downdraft. The fireplace in that position made sense in a one-story house, but was moved once the second story and staircase were added. The family would have congregated in front of the fire at what is now the foot of the stairs when the house was only one story, so it is little wonder Lynn witnessed a ghostly apparition of Olivia there. Our research has shown that the historical figures now associated with the town's ghost stories often suffered tragic or unexpected deaths. It seems the stories evolved as a way for the townsfolk to come to terms with the losses and the unpredictable nature of death itself. Olivia tragically lost her husband too soon. She had to manage the property and raise 10 children on her own. It was also said to be a tragedy that the family was left with no foothold in the district they had helped to pioneer. Perhaps Olivia's ghostly presence lives on in Woodbine because at that moment in time she was happy and her life was still full of promise.